Hey guys, how you doing? Happy Thursday. Welcome to Thursday. I am in Lyon, France today, and got up at the crack of dawn this morning. Actually had to do what ended up being a 2.5 hour French exam. Do not ask me. Please don't ask me how I did. Bof alors is all I'm going to say, but it is over, and I'm celebrating by having a French Starbucks, so it's my day. Gonna go book shopping today actually, and begin my journey back tomorrow, so good, all is well. Hey, I always forget to say this, but it's actually really important. I wonder if you can actually help me with something. If you haven't yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, I'm just a pip under 2,500 subscribers there, so if you haven't subscribed, please consider subscribing or sharing that with some folks and just help me get over that barrier there. That would really help there. Again, as always, check out the links below. Got some online courses there. If you're not yet a partner of our ministry, we have a whole bunch of partners in a whole bunch of countries. They're those who pray for us and give. Can even just be a few bucks a month, whatever that can be, and help our missions work. So thanks to all our friends and partners there. Good. Hey, let me share something with you guys today. I was thinking about peace, about the practice of peace. You know, I once heard a lovely guy who went to be with the Lord a few years back called Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard. He's worth reading. Sort of not the easiest read, but he's an interesting guy worth reading. I once heard Dallas Willard say, Jesus was the most unrushed person who's ever lived. Okay, now, don't be in a rush. Just take a moment to think of that. Jesus was unrushed. Have you ever thought about that? But he was always on time. He was never in a hurry. His friend Lazarus died in John 11, and he's like, okay, you know, we've got time. We'll wait a few more days then, because I know God's got this. And Jesus lived at peace all the time. Obviously, you know, let's leave aside the cross, the passion, if you will, because the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. But Jesus lived absolutely at peace everywhere he went. In Mark 4, Jesus is in a boat. The disciples are in a boat. And then the storm hits. And the problem is the storm's in the disciples, and the disciples are in the boat, the water's getting in the boat, and they're all panicking, and they go down to the bow of the boat, kind of maybe the lower deck of the boat, so to speak, and wake up Jesus. And Jesus is asleep. Why? Because he's at peace. He's in the boat, in the storm, but the storm isn't in him. And then if you think about it, what Jesus does, he releases to the storm what's going on in the inside of him. What's happening on the outside doesn't affect what's on the inside of him. Rather, what's on the inside of him is greater than what's on the outside of him. The peace within him is greater than the storm around him. What does he say to the storm? Peace, be still. And with the words, the profession, if you will, of his mouth, he actually releases the peace of God into that circumstance and situation. That's really powerful. Do you remember when Jesus sent the disciples out and he said, whatever town you go into, find somebody who's worthy. Now, he wasn't saying find somebody who's worthy in the sense of they're sinless and they've never committed anything, but rather somebody who's worthy of the message you're carrying, somebody who wants to hear this thing. And you know, Jesus's message to them was, when you come into that house, release your peace on it, lest leave peace, pronounce peace on the house. I don't think Jesus was saying that simply as a kind of Middle Eastern greeting, Malikum al-Shalam. But rather, he's saying, you are the carriers of shalom, the carriers of heaven's peace. Now release that peace upon the place you visit. How cool is that? Let me change glasses here. So how do we practice our peace? That's my question today. And let me give you three quick keys on this. Number one, this is something that practices. Yeah? If you came to me and said, Graham, how good are you at golf? I think I played golf once, probably in about 1976, 7 or 8. Okay, that's it. I may have played crazy golf once in Cape Cod about 10 years ago, but that's it. If I came and said, I'm no good at golf, you would probably say, well, practice. You know, get with somebody who's good at it, learn, grow in that area, practice. And I think we can practice our peace. And you know, again, just speaking as a pastor, I'll see people. It's like the slightest little thing happens, a leaf falls on their head, and all hell breaks loose. They try and pull other people. This interior exterior thing is really powerful. It's like they try to pull other people into the inner turmoil and spray inner turmoil on everybody they meet. And I believe God wants us to be people of great peace. Great peace of those who love your word. Nothing offends them. Now that speaks of offense, but actually of being moved, being challenged, being bothered. Psalm 119, 165. Yeah, Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, thinking, is stayed on thee. Old King James, I know, but you'll keep him in perfect peace, the one whose mind is fixed on the things of God. So, key number one, practice. I really encourage you, practice, practice, practice. Practice your peace. If you lose your peace, that's okay. I believe it's 1 Peter 3, around about verse 8, where Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Peter's using that image of a Roman soldier where they'd have this, you know, the breastplate, the uniform, and they'd have these strips of leather that would look a little bit like a skirt or a kilt, the Scottish would say, going down. But when they went into battle, they'd take these strips of leather, this skirt, if you will, and tuck them under their belt and tie them in so that they wouldn't trip up as they went into battle. And Peter's writing and he's saying, don't trip up. Don't let your thoughts trip you up. Don't let your thoughts drag you away from the plans and purposes of God. Gird up the loins of your mind. Yeah, be sober, be vigilant. Yeah, rest in the hope that is yours through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So, key number one, you can do this. You can practice this. Key number two, you know, take authority over your thoughts. Usually, we lose our peace when we lose our thoughts. Yeah, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. The problem is we get our mind off the things of God onto other things. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever worried about anything? No. Okay. Well, let me explain to you how worry works. So I know this is silly, but track with me here. Worry usually happens when a thought comes to us, you know, whether it floats in or whether we see something, somebody says something, that thought hits the screen of our mind. And then we begin to engage with that thought. We begin to think on it. We begin to literally allow our imagination to breathe into that thought, to let it expand, let it grow. We go down different directions. If you will, we literally play out scenarios with that. Ooh, what's this going to happen? Ooh, I'm going to miss the plane. Ooh, this will happen, that will happen. And we let those things play out. And we do it into such a space where literally our soul and actually our body begins to feel the very thing we're talking about. I don't know if you've ever taken that test, and I won't do it here for the sake of time, but where you close your eyes and you imagine going into a supermarket, the first thing you see is a great big presentation of lemons, and you take this big, fat, juicy lemon, chop it in two, it's juice running down, and then you bite into it. You know, if you ever do that with a group of people, by the time you say you bite into it, literally, a couple of things are happening. The saliva glands are kicking in people's... I could do that in a church. Nobody's eaten anything, I think. And yet, literally, they'll be... The mouth is preparing them for this citrus overload that's began to hit. And then, as I say, you bite into it, that kind of expectation of bitter, sweet, tangy, citrusy thing happens. That's my point. A thought, you engage your soul with it, and even your body wants to come into it. Let me finish with this today, but the Bible says that we should possess our souls in patience. And I think the peace, the shalom that God has in heaven, that he lives in, heaven is never rushed. Heaven is the place of perfect peace. I think there's that glorious, crazy activity in heaven. There's joy. It's not peace like some, you know, retirement home where nobody, it's all quiet or whatever. Heaven's glorious, and yet it's in absolute perfect peace. Nothing's out of order. Everything is wonderful. And Jesus lived in that peace on the earth. He gave up that peace at Calvary that we might have it back in our experience here and now. But we need to practice it. And here's my key number three with this. You can get to the place, I believe this, I know this. You can get to the place where your peace is like muscle memory. Your peace is something you practiced. Your peace is something that just comes automatically if you keep practicing it. Yeah. And it's interesting. I had to take this French test today. I'll finish with this. But and there were basically four parts to this test. It was a pretty thorough test. And, you know, some of it was spoken French, some of it was oral kind of understanding, or expression, oral understanding, written expression, written understanding. And as somebody who's lived in France for 20 years nearly, spoken every day with people, I'm just constantly used to interacting in situations, the spoken part was really easy. You know, they said to me, like, they could tell I've lived there for years, you know, they're very easy. I never write in French. I always get Leah to do it whenever I used to need to do something. You know, maybe a little text message occasionally, but I never really write in French. And here's my point. You can get to the place, literally you could teach your mouth to form French verbs, French vowels, and we can get to the place where we've got peace down on muscle memory. It's like a speed dial to us. Yeah, well, we can access it quickly. Where when you feel stress encroaching in, you know, what most of us do to solve the stress problem of life, like everybody in the world, is we fight or flight. Somebody attacks us with a stressful situation, and we either want to fight them, how dare you say that to me, we physically or verbally, whatever, we engage, we fight, or we flight, we run. I can't deal with this, and we want to run away. You know, we internalize. So what God wants us to do is move into peace. Peace won't always change every exterior thing around you. It often will, actually, but it won't always. But it will change you, and you can stay in perfect peace. Boom, sila. Hope that helps, guys. Hey, again, hit that subscribe button. It really helps. Give the bell symbol a long press, and drop me a line. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye for now.